Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, we got an excited crowd here today. Good morning to everyone here at Calvary Gospel Church, and good morning to everybody at home watching online. Today, I got something special that I want to talk to you about. It's just going to be a simple conversation today. But it's something that God has been dealing with me a lot lately. And this happens to me every so often. God just really puts something on my heart, and he gives me time to really think about it and meditate about it. So today, I want to start off with a scripture from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And this scripture is just a very simple scripture, and I'm going to let you understand the meaning behind it in just a minute. But the Bible tells us that God formed man out of the dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man came alive, a living soul. So this is what God's been dealing with me about, because we as people, we as humanity, we are consumers. And what that means is, and I'll give you an example. So we eat food, we eat really good, delicious things. I had some McDonald's this morning. It was delicious. But we eat things, right? Whether it's good or bad for healthy or whatnot. But as we eat, our bodies, oh no. If you need, hey, come here. It's okay. Let him come here. But our bodies, we take, and whatever we eat, come here. Oh, come here. Come here. Oh, calm down. It's okay. It's okay. So we take everything that's good out of the food, our bodies take and use it to nourish our bodies, and then our bodies will get rid of the rest. And it's the same thing when we drink. Whenever we drink something, our bodies will take all the good out of whatever we drink, and our bodies will flush out the rest. Oh, excuse me for a second. Hold on. What's this? Come here. Let me see. Uh-oh. What is that? It's a heart. Very good. Oh, no. Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Come here. So she's giving me a heart. And I don't know if you guys can see it, but it looks like it's a little angry. She's a little angry, you know? She's got a little, you know what? But it's okay. I'm going to take this from you, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this one. And it's smiley face. So here, you take that, okay? Great. Sorry for the interruption, guys. So, but also think about this when we breathe, right? We breathe in oxygen. And what we breathe out is carbon dioxide, right? We breathe in good. And if you were to try to breathe the stuff that you exhale, carbon dioxide, you would probably die. If after a while, if you breathe too much of it, you'll die because it's harmful to your body. So what happens is we, oh, excuse me. Excuse me again. Yes. Oh, look, it's even a bigger heart. Oh, no. Oh, no. Is this your heart? Oh, this is her heart today. Look, she's really sad today. You see, it's crying. Trust me, it's crying. But you know what? Listen, I'm going to take this, okay? And I'm going to give you this. This looks happy, doesn't it? There you go. Okay, sorry about that. These kids keep interrupting. So this is the thing that about this scripture that I want to express to you guys. This is what God's been dealing with me about, is that we as people, we always take in good. And whatever else we get rid of, it's always bad. It's harmful. It's not good for us. But in this scripture in Genesis, the Bible tells us that God breathed into man. So for us, when we breathe out, it's not good for us. But for God, when he breathed out, the Bible tells us that he breathed into man the breath of life. So what does it have to do with anything? Well, the Bible also tells us, and I didn't actually bring this particular scripture with me, but that Jesus Christ became, he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ was perfect. He knew no sin, but he became sin. And why is that? When he went to the cross, the Bible says that he took on all the sin of mankind. He took on our sin, our shame, our guilt. And what did he give us in return? Forgiveness. Everlasting life. Joy. Peace. For God, he is the complete opposite of us. He takes in the bad and he gives out good. And this is what God's been dealing with me about, because you know what? I've been going through some rough things. I got a little almost 2-year-old here that's already hitting terrible two phase, and with things at home and the pandemic going on and work and there's just a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety and a lot of other things, and you know, I feel this a lot. And you know, I take in a lot of the good, and so often I find myself giving out negative. I get an attitude, I get angry, I get upset, I get scared, I get worried. And that affects not only me, but my family and everyone else that I interact with. But in 1 Peter 5 and 7, God tells us that we need to cast all of our care upon him. Why? Why? Why is God asking? Why is Peter writing? Why is he saying, listen, take everything, all the cares that you have, and cast them on him? Because he cares for you. Why? Because God wants to take those negative things. God wants to take the bad, and he wants to fill us with good. So there are times in our life when we're angry. And what does God want to do? He wants us to give him our anger. Give him our frustrations. Why? So he can give us joy and peace. He wants us to give sadness to him. Pray to him and give that sadness to him so that he can give us joy. Oh, here we go again. Uh-oh, look at this. Oh, goodness. Looks like somebody is just messed up. Their day's confused. They're broken. Oh, is that a moon? Are you sure? It looks like it. But you know what? Here, this is what I'm going to do for you. Here we go. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to put that back together. There you go. So in Isaiah 53, the Bible tells us that he was looked down. This is talking about Jesus. This is Isaiah talking about Jesus. He was looked down on. He was passed over. A man who suffered. He knew pain firsthand. One look on him and people shunned him. We looked down on him and thought he was scum. Next. But the fact is, it was our pains that he carried. Our disfigurements. All the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, but God was punishing him for our failures. But it was our sins that did that to him. That ripped and tore him and crushed him. Our sins. He took that punishment. He took our brokenness. He took our pain and our suffering. And he made us whole. And through his bruises, now this, it says his bruises, but it also says, by his stripes, we find healing. So many times we can get so caught up in the negative and get so downcast and full of shame and guilt and just feel like we're suffering. But that's not how God wants us to live. Is that right? Yes. Can you say yes? Yes. Yes.
Say yes.
Oh, okay. I take that. He said yes. You just didn't hear it. But this is the thing. If we could just truly understand this point, that as many times as we take in good and just feel a negative effect about it. Yeah, there we go. God wants us to give him the negative, because whenever we give a negative to God, he always returns it in a positive. God always will give us good. That's why Peter tells us, take all your cares. And actually, if you look up the word cares in the Greek lexicon, this is just me Bible study. When you look up the word cares, it's actually the word means the place that breaks you. Things, the broken things in your life, the things that cause you to be broken or disjointed. He says, take all those things and give it to Jesus so that he, in return, can bring you healing. Not just physically, spiritually, emotionally. And how do we do that today? That's the key thing, you know. It's easy to sit down and say, oh, God will heal you. God will do that if you just lay it down. How do you do it? What do you do? It is honestly as simple as sitting down with God and telling God, God, I'm angry. God, I'm sad. And telling him why. It's okay to tell him that. God's not going to hurt you. God's not going to get upset if you tell him that you're worried. He's not going to get mad. He wants to know these things. And as Brother Ben so eloquently put it, I think it was last week, it might have been the week before, God cares not only just for the big things in life. I'm broken, I'm dying inside, God, I need help. But he also cares about the little things. God, you know, my family's not saved, I'm not feeling well. You know what, God? I'm just a little angry today. My microwave died. Whether it's big or whether it's small, God said, Peter wrote, cast some of your care, a few, this one and that one on the list ABCs, right? Say A and B on the quiz, he said D, all of the above. Cast all of your cares. Here comes my care. I'm going to cast you, buddy. Ready? Woo-wee. But God said, cast all of it. Not just the big stuff, but the little stuff as well. So today, and that's really, honestly, when you pray and you start saying, God, I'm upset. God, I'm angry. God, I'm scared. Then that's where you go to the Bible. And you find something that relates to what you're feeling. God, I'm angry. What does the Bible say about anger? The Bible says to forgive. The Bible says don't let the sun set on your wrath or your anger. Well, what do I do? You pray and you forgive. I'm scared, God. Well, what does the Bible say about fear? The Bible says that God's not the author of fear. Well, then why am I afraid? Well, you know what? What is a scripture that deals with that fear? My go-to is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Why should I be afraid if God is on my side? God, I'm worried. And you know what? Through the word of God, God begins to speak to you. Hey, it's okay. I got this under control. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. Hey, it's okay because I'm here for you. So, really? Wow, he's just chilling. So, I just want everyone here and everyone at home to understand that God cares for us. Ain't that right, Caselyn? Ain't that right? Does God care for you? Does God care for you? Oh, goodness. I'm running out of lap space. Here. All right. Go. Ah! But God cares for every one of us. God cares for our needs. God cares for everything. Oh, no. My mic. You get back here. Sorry about that. So this morning, if you find yourself in that place where you're angry, you're scared, you're upset, it's okay to go to God with it. It's okay to pray. It's okay to tell God every single little thing that you're feeling. You know why? Because that gives God the opportunity to move over your life and to speak to you and to bring healing to that area. So let's just pray this morning and just pray that God today, even in this service, God can move on us and God can bring healing to those areas of our lives that we just need healing with. So this morning, here in the sanctuary and here and there at home online, let's just pray that God moves in a mighty way over our hearts. Jesus, we thank you, God, for this opportunity, God, to come before you today, God. Lord, you are a God that cares so much for us, God. And Lord, there is no end to your love and your just the love that you have for us, God. Lord, it's unending, Jesus. And God, the Bible tells us that we should cast all our cares upon you, God. So today, through this service, God, I pray that you would surround us with your love, surround us with your mercy and grace, God. And I believe you today, Jesus, that your hand would move over us, God, that you would speak to us, God, and that you would bring healing to our hearts and minds, God. Bring peace, God. Bring joy, God. Lord, and I just pray, God, that throughout this day, God, that we would continue to feel that love, that we would continue to feel that peace today, God, and that your mighty hand would continue to move over us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So everyone, thank you in here for listening to my ramblings. And for you at home, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a few more minutes and we'll be ready to start our regular service. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, church. If you wouldn't mind standing with us this morning. If you're at home, welcome. If you are here, welcome. We're glad that you could make it. We're just going to open this service up in prayer. So I ask that you join with me. Use your voice. Say your own words. Ask God for what you need today. Ask him to meet your need, right? Jesus, we thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for all that you've done and all you're going to do. You are a mighty God. You are a holy God. You are a worthy God. I give you glory and honor, Jesus, for all that you are, God, because I know that you are in control of every situation. I know that you desire to work in every heart and every mind, God. I pray that we would be open to what you have for us, Jesus. Lord, touch my heart today, Jesus. Change my heart, Jesus. Give me your desires, God, and let me see what you have for me, God. And I pray that you would work in my life and in our lives today. In Jesus' name, we praise you, God.
Heaven's thunder, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded, and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory grow. God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Freedom conquered, all our chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus is overcome. Mercy triumphed. Third day dawn. Darkness was denied when the stone was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. Shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good all the time. We want to welcome our guests to Calvary Gospel Church online and here in the auditorium. We're glad that you're with us. If you have a moment or if you're online and you have time, please give us a heads up. Let us know that you visited with us. If you're here, we have a connection card that you can fill out, just a couple of points of information to give us the opportunity to show our appreciation for your attendance here. Online, there's a bit.ly site that you can give that information and let us know that you are with us, and we will let you know how much we appreciate that. If you're here in person and you do that, you get a little gift from Calvary Gospel Church. So please take advantage of that. We're glad that you're with us. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. A few brief announcements. First of all, today is the last day for Christmas for Christ. We need to send in our offering this week. If you're still unaware of what Christmas for Christ is, it's an annual national offering that the United Pentecostal Church takes up in order to support the planting and building of new churches throughout the North American continent. And it's your opportunity to be a part of what God is doing to bring more and more into the kingdom of God. And just a side note, 40% of all of those funds that we send in stay right here in our district. They come back to North American Missions, Wisconsin. And in part, they will be supporting church planters, just like our daughter church, now independent church, let's say autonomous church. UPC Stoughton, where the Thomases have established a work. So praise God for that. So please take this opportunity. If you haven't given, please give, even if it's just a little bit. And if you have given, consider adding to what you have. There is such a great need for this gospel to go forth. The darker the times, the brighter the light. And we are the light bearers. Amen? Amen. Your giving options, of course, are listed here. You can give online. You can send your gifts in if you're not able to be here in service. Of course, you can give in the vestibule there. There's a receptacle for you to put your offering in. And then also you can text your offering. But you need to designate, especially if you're giving a Christmas for Christ, you need to designate what that offering is for. One last announcement. Midwinter Camp South for the Wisconsin District will be this Thursday and Friday, at Abundant Life Church in Oconomowoc. So if you can be there for any of those services, you will be blessed. It just is good to be with God's people, and there's an anointing on the church at this hour, a special anointing, because the world needs the truth. Amen. If you would stand again, we want to pray. One more time. We want to pray for any number of people that you may know. There are many people struggling with illness and sickness. I didn't look to see if Sister Lori Grant is here this morning. She's not here. She's been very sick. She was taken to the hospital yesterday. So we want to pray for her. Sister Lily Miller called. She has some health issues related to her MS that we want to pray for her as well. And if you know of someone or you have a need, why don't you lift your hand right now to identify that. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for what you're doing here today. Your presence is healing in itself, oh God, and we're so grateful to be able to feel your touch and to hear your voice. I pray for your blessing and anointing upon this service, on everyone here in this place, everyone who is online with us. I pray, God, let the word of God take root in us. Let it change us. Let the healing virtue of your presence and your word, oh God, flow from this place, to flow through each of us. In Jesus' name we pray, oh God, for Sister Lily, for healing and for direction for this medical situation with her MS. We pray, oh God, for a miracle for her. We pray for Sister Lori Grant, for the touch of God upon her. I pray, God, for a miracle, that your name may be magnified in this. Lord, we don't know the intricacies of the human body like you do. We don't know, oh God, the end from the beginning, but you know, and we come to you, oh God, and cast our cares upon you and ask, oh God, for you to do a work in these situations, and we will give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is the word of the Lord your creator. I am the God who stood before the world was framed. I am the first, the last, and everything between. I hold your future. Who could know these things but me?
So don't fear, that will be your song. Sing, sing, oh barren land, water is coming to the thirsty. Though you are empty, I am the well. Draw from me, I will provide.
You're the river in the desert. So this is the word.
This is the word of the Lord your creator.
And I stand from age.
I stand from age.
rage the ancient of days.
He says, I am the Holy One.
I am the Holy One, the fairest of 2,000.
And all who call.
And all who call upon my name shall be saved.
So don't fear.
Don't fear.
I will be your song.
I will be your song.
Oh.
Sing, sing for barren land. Water is coming to the thirsty. And though you are empty, I am the well. Draw from me, I will provide.
Oh, sing,
sing, sing for barren land.
I will provide, cause I'm the rim in the test. I'm pouring my spirit on the broken, giving food for your ashes and joy for your sadness. Heaven's open. I'm the rim in the test.
Pouring my spirit on the broken, giving beauty for your ashes, joy for your sadness, heaven's open. I'm a river in the desert, pouring my spirit on the broken, giving beauty for your ashes, joy for your sadness, heaven's open. Pouring my spirit on the broken, giving beauty for your ashes, joy for your sadness, heaven's open,
heaven's open,
heaven's open.
In the desert, he's making ways in the wilderness, he's making rivers in the desert,
he's making ways in the wilderness. Making rivers in the desert.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's making ways in the wilderness. He's making rivers in the desert. You're the way in the wilderness. You're the river in the desert. You're the way in the wilderness. You're the river in the desert.
You are, hallelujah, Jesus, you're making way.
enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
You turn it around, God.
Turn it for good.
Turn it around, God.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Every time, every time.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
The battle's not mine, God.
Turn it for good.
Turn it all for my good.
You turn it for good.
Turn it for good, God.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Sing it out this morning.
I'm gonna sing a victory. I'm gonna sing a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing a victory. I'm gonna sing a victory. For the battle.
Let's just worship the Lord a few moments here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Such a sweet, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord, church. Good morning to you all. If we could just stand just for one moment here. I just want to read our opening scripture here. We've been talking about resetting, reconnecting in 2021. We've been covering each week. We've been covering a specific. We've been talking about the spiritually, the soul, the heart. We've been talking about the mind. I didn't finish on Wednesday evening, so I'm going to finish this morning. And then Wednesday, this next Wednesday, we'll go into our last one is physically. A lot of you took a stress test. We're going to weave some of the results of those stress tests into the physical aspect. Understand, God created us. He didn't just create us as one-dimensional beings. He created us with a soul, with a mind, and with a body. We've been comparing this to a three-legged stool. If you were to take and cut any one of the legs off of that three-legged stool, you're going to lose your balance. And what we're trying to do here is just rebalance our lives. And so we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Reading from the New International Version this morning. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That little statement right there, and we take captive every thought, is the biggest battle that you and I will ever fight as a Christian. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. How many of you like to punish yourself? How many of you ever put yourself in a timeout? Occasionally, I have to just say, okay, enough's enough. Put down whatever I'm doing and go have a lemonade break or an iced tea break. That's the way I put myself in a timeout. So what he's saying is saying we demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought that comes into our minds and we make it obedient to Christ. And if we disobey and act naughty, we put ourselves in a timeout. You've never heard it read quite that way, have you? You could go ahead and be seated this morning. It says we are to demolish arguments and every pretension and take captive into every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Now, Wednesday evening, we finished up with point number 5, and I got into a little bit of point number 6, and I'm going to go ahead and just get right into it this morning. And point number 6 in our 7 points that we have on how to fight the battle of our minds. My question to you is, what are the spiritual weapons that we should be using? And how do we use them? Ephesians 6, Paul is telling the church there in Ephesus how to put on the whole armor of God, which helps us to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. Here Paul reiterates that we do not fight, and we are not fighting a battle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the spiritual powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We are not fighting against ourselves. We're not fighting against our neighbors. We're not fighting against our coworkers. We're not fighting against our siblings or our parents. We are fighting against the devil. And we have to understand he is our only enemy. And just as he attempts to manipulate you and me, he also attempts to manipulate our moms and our dads, our siblings, our coworkers, our neighbors, because that's what he does best. So we're fighting against the devil. Now listen very closely to my words here. We're not putting on our armor to go to war against ourselves or other people, but we are putting on our armor to go to war for ourselves and other people against a common enemy in the spirit realm. We wage spiritual warfare with the belt of truth. We wage spiritual warfare with the breastplate of righteousness and the readiness of the gospel of peace and our shield of faith and our helmet of salvation. And the only offensive weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God. And last but not least, with prayer and supplication. So as we continue to move on, I want to ask you this point number 7. How do we take our thoughts captive and destroy those spiritual strongholds? So what spiritual weapons should we be using? Paul lays this out very well in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12. This is not a complete lesson on Ephesians 6, but this is an overview of the weapons that we have at our disposal. So how do we take our thoughts captive? As I've mentioned over the years of all the struggles in my life when I was in a very backslidden condition, in certain areas of my life, the enemy knew that he just simply couldn't win or fight against me and win. So he had to get me, hear me now, he knew he could not tempt me and destroy me in certain areas of my life because I had pretty much drawn a line in the sand and said, I'm not going there. I've never drank alcohol in my life, and I said, I'm not going to become an alcoholic because I've backslid. I'm not going to drown out my sorrows with alcohol or drugs or any of those things. He knew that he couldn't come against me and win with those certain types of temptations, so he got me to fight myself. He told me lies upon lies upon lies, and after a period of time, after the enemy bombards your mind so much, you begin to believe those lies. He plagued my mind. I went through a period of time where months and months and months I could not sleep a full night's sleep. I would roll over and toss and turn and get up, take long walks in the middle of the night. You see, I felt in my life that I was backed into this corner, and there was seemingly no way out for me. But the truth is the enemy can never rob us of the promises that God has made to you in your life. So perhaps you're not where you need to be today in God, and perhaps there have been other times in your life, other seasons in your life that have been much more profitable and much more pleasurable to live, and you are in a season of struggle right now. Understand the promises that God gave you, He doesn't go back on. God promised Israel the promised land. It took them a long time to get there, and once they got there, He never took it from them. There are times they were in bondage in their promise. And the same can apply to us today. The enemy sends lies and negative thoughts into our minds until we begin to believe them and begin to accept them as truth. You see, while there are 6 weapons in the armor that God gives to us, I want to focus just for a few moments on the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and the importance of prayer in our lives. The first thing that we need is truth, because truth is literally our foundation if we want to win the battle against the enemy in our minds. Truth, the belt of truth, is the most important weapon that you will have when you begin to fight against the enemy in your mind, because everything is based off of truth. Either we believe it is truth or it's not truth. And everything in God's word is truth, and everything God tells us is truth. God is never going to tempt us, to test us. I've heard people say this, well, Pastor, you know, I'm thinking that maybe, you know, this was just a temptation or a test of God. God's not going to call you to go to the bar and sit up there and order you a Bud Light and sit at that counter and have that Bud Light sitting in front of you and say, well, I'm just testing you here, Roy. God doesn't work that way. If you're doing that in your life and you feel that it's God testing you, it's the enemy tempting you. You've let go of the belt of truth in your life. If we don't have truth, understand something. If you don't have truth, no other weapon in the armor that God gives us will be able to help us in our fight. We have a problem with truth in our world today. Things that used to be truth are now a lie, and things that used to be lie are the truth. The truth never falters. The truth never wavers. Truth is always truth. But you see, it's how people begin to perceive truth as. Now, the shield of faith. This is very critical, because I can only refer to you or only make reference to my life. I've never lived anybody else's life. So I don't know what it's like in your life, but for me, I had a faith issue. I had a truth issue, and I had a faith issue. And the faith issue was I didn't really believe that God could do what God said he was going to do. So we have to take our shield of faith, and we must choose. This is a choice. We must choose to trust God even if you don't have all the answers and you don't understand what, why, where you're going through what you're going through. And then we need the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And of all the weapons we have, it's the only offensive weapon in our armor. But you see, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. If you study that two-edged sword, the Romans perfected the two-edged sword. And the two-edged sword was designed that when it went into its opponent in the battlefield, it was not a real long sword. It was a shorter sword for those particular time frame of weaponry. But it would go in and they would thrust the sword in. And as they thrust the sword in. It cut going up. It cut going down. So no matter which way you forced your weapon, you were cutting. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, we talked in our first lesson in our series about the heart being deceitfully wicked and who can know it. But the sword of the Spirit, this is the important thing about the Word of God, is as we read the Word of God and it begins to pierce into our souls, it begins to pierce into our hearts, it has the ability to divide out. I want to encourage you, if you're struggling in your life and you say, well, I just can't seem to get there. I know what you're, I lived years of my life not seeming to be able to get there. But it wasn't until I began to apply the Word of God to my life that I started to get there. And it was because the Word of God was able to cut and reveal. Did you get that? It cuts and reveals, but most of us, we don't like to be punished. We don't want God to come down and make judgment on our lives. We're not very good at calling that out on our own. That's why we don't put ourselves in timeouts very often. But the Word of God, it can divide my soul and my spirit. I don't even quite understand the soul and the spirit, how it all works together, where one begins and one ends, and the joints and the marrow, the thoughts and intents of the heart. How do you divide all of that out? But the Word of God can get into our hearts, our minds, our soul, our spirit, and can divide all of that out. And the Word of God is powerful enough to break down the most fortified of strongholds that we build in our lives. You see, we take our thoughts captive and destroy strongholds by having the right foundation of truth, walking in faith, and standing on the Word of God. There is no place for lies in a heart filled with God's truth. When the enemy begins to throw lies at us, we pull out the sword of the Spirit and we stop his attacks. So you ask yourself, we ask ourselves, what is this thought? A thought comes into your mind, and either you entertain that thought or you reject that thought. So a thought comes in and you say, why am I believing this? Is this a true thought? What does the Word say about this? What does God want me to believe about this? I want to just stop for a moment. I'm not talking about if you're sitting in a McDonald's drive-thru and you're thinking Big Mac or McDouble, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about spiritual aspects and things that apply to our lives more in the spiritual side of things than the physical side of things. If the thought is not of God, submit it to him in prayer. Say, God, why do I keep getting bombarded? And ask God to help us when it comes to the truth about the situation. Because see how the enemy tricks us, Pastor Silas, he gets us to believe something that's not true. Do you realize the only thing the devil can do to you is lie to you? But he does a masterful job at it, doesn't he? You see, and then we repeat this process for every negative thought. But what happens most of the time is we get bombarded and we just give up. You see, the thing is strongholds aren't built overnight, and they don't come down overnight. A lot of times we feel, well, we go to the altar one time, we blow snot all over the place, we pray, cry our eyeballs out, that felt really good, we go away. Before we even get home, we can feel some of the effects of those strongholds starting to come back. You see, you just didn't build it in one day. It's not going to come down in one day. But you see, if we remain persistent in believing God, if we consume his word and submit our thoughts in prayer, learn. We have to learn how to use the spiritual weapons that God has given to us. Fathers, mothers, learn how to use the weapons on behalf of yourself, your family, and your friends. This battle, it's not an easy battle. It's continual. It can be relentless at times. But remember, we already have the victory. Do we believe what this tells us or not? You see, whatsoever things are pure. Starts off, whatsoever things are true. That's the first thing. Whatsoever things are pure. If we could just get those two right, almost everything else falls into place. Believe the word of God. Live the word of God. Think the word of God. For every negative stronghold, there's a powerful way to surround it with the opposite truth from God. When the devil says you can't, God says, yes, you can. If you're struggling with the stronghold of depression, surround it with scriptures of hope. If you're struggling with rejection, surround it with acceptance from Jesus Christ. He's accepted you just the way you are. Remember, I said he's accepted you just the way you are, but he does expect a change. Today's culture says, accept me how I am, and I'm not going to change. That's not how God works. If you're struggling with unresolved anger, well, there's all kinds of Bible scriptures on how to deal with that. If you're struggling with a stronghold of fear, surround that stronghold in your life with the knowledge of the love of God. If you're struggling with failure, surround it with the victory of the resurrection. And once you've identified a stronghold in your life, go to the scripture and study the opposite truth from the word of God. So if it's anger, study it. If it's bitterness, go to the opposite. Study about love. If it's frustrations, get in the word of God and fill your mind. How many of you ordered that book that I had mentioned on As a Man Thinketh? I know Brother Thompson did. I just want to encourage you. You know what this book, it's a short little book, but it does a tremendous job explaining the difference when you think and how thinking affects your body, soul, and your mind, your spirit. Now, it's a 37, 38 page read. But it really gets, I want to encourage you. I think Brother Ben's book has a little different cover to it. This one's got a man in a canoe, James Allen. I encourage you to get that. But you know, we have, study what the Bible says. Some of you have Thompson Chain Bibles. Some of you have Apostolic Study Bibles. We buy all of these study Bibles and such, and very rarely do we ever use them. We do. But you see, get your study Bible. And if you're having a problem in your life, look it up. If you have a problem with your car, you have a problem with an appliance at home, your garage door opener, for some reason the power went out and it didn't reprogram itself, first thing you do is you go look for a manual, don't you? Yeah? You go online, you Google. Most people, did you know you can actually Google how to overcome spiritual strongholds in your life? And there's actually some good stuff there. If you don't want to use Google, then use DuckDuckGo or Bing or whatever. It's out there. It's at our disposal. Use it. You see, once the enemy sees that he's surrounded, this is how this works. The enemy can't stand humility. He can't stand repentance because he has a problem with that. Makes him uncomfortable. So once you surround that stronghold with the word of God, you dig into his word, and you're surrounding it with humility, with submission and repentance, all of a sudden that stronghold begins to dissolve. And you continue resisting by praising God. The Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is a powerful biblical strategy on how to keep the devil out of your head. We have a great example of this. In the Old Testament, we don't always look at it this way, but when we look at the Joshua and the strategy for taking the city of Jericho, what was the strategy? The strategy was basically to march around the city for 7 days and blow the trumpets and shout with the loud praise. So here's what I believe for every physical battle we fight, there's an opposite battle going on in the spirit realm. Because as I said, we're not just one-dimensional creatures. We only see in one dimension. But there are other dimensions. So when we look at what's happening, they're surrounding the city as they were instructed with the obedience of God's word, with faith. When they surrounded the city, what did they do to Jericho? As of right now, they haven't laid hands on Jericho. Just as in your head, you surround those thoughts in your head. You haven't physically done anything yet, but you begin to block off the enemy. When God's presence surrounds the city, nothing can go in and nothing can go out. And I believe when God said surround the city, that he closed it off physically and spiritually. It's like he took a big glass dome of his presence and put it right over Jericho and said, nothing more is coming in and whatever's in it ain't getting out. Alive. So for 7 days, they cut off all the supplies from the city. Thus, they cut out the realm of darkness. You don't think the land of Canaan was a dark, dark place? You see, as the power of their faith grew, as they began to march around the walls of Jericho, as their faith grew in their hearts, and as your faith begins to grow in your heart, because remember, nothing else can come in and nothing else can get out at this point. As you begin to fight the battles in your mind, you surround the stronghold of negative thinking and the walls of Jericho begin to get weak. You may not notice it right away, but every day they walked around Jericho one time every day. I just want to encourage you to surround the stronghold in your mind with praise. Start singing songs and spiritual songs to God. Psalms 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. See, understand something. The devil and demons can't stomach praise. Praise is a powerful way to bring down a stronghold in your life. And as Israel marched and as Israel praised, they surrounded the stronghold of Jericho. And as God heard their praises rise up into the heavens, he began to respond, because God always responds to praise. He responded with not just a physical force, but he responded with a spiritual force and a spiritual power. And it was a supernatural spiritual power that caused the walls of Jericho to fall flat. You see, church, you may say, well, Pastor, that was just in those days. This is exactly how we fight. God was trying to give us a physical example of what happens every day in our minds. You see, this is how we need to pray. We have to take back our minds. Drive out the strongholds the enemy has within us. The psalmist states, "Test me, O Lord. Try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Show me the areas of my life that I have not fully surrendered to you." So how does one pray against these strongholds? So our musicians can come. If you recognize any chronic area of sin in your life, I've never been one to just get up and say, okay, I'm going to lead the congregation through prayer. But I believe that God can do some powerful, powerful things in our lives. The first thing is, if you recognize any areas of chronic sin in your life that has built up a stronghold, do, as Bishop would say, stinking thinking. First thing we have to do is confess it to the Lord, and you don't wait till later. You do it right now. Lord, forgive me. If we can stand, forgive me of compromise. Give me the courage, God, to pull down every stronghold that is within me without reluctance or willful deception in my heart. And thank you, God, for forgiving and cleansing me for all of my sins and breaking every curse that the enemy has against me. It is the power of the cross. It's the power of the Holy Spirit and power of the name of Jesus Christ. I bind any satanic influences that are reinforcing compromise and sin within me. This is how we need to pray. Submit, Lord. I submit myself to the Spirit of truth. Expose, God, any stronghold of sin that's within me. Show me, God. I want to root it out. Be a mighty weapon, or by the mighty weapons of the Spirit and of the Word, I proclaim that every evil stronghold within me is coming down. I purpose to surround this evil stronghold. You say, but Pastor, am I really an evil person? The heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? Yes! Try to powder coat it. People every day kill people that they never thought that they would end up a murderer. Surround that evil stronghold with praise and affirming truth from the Word of God. Every day, purpose to take every pattern of negative thinking and bring it captive. Bring it to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, follow through until even the ruins of that stronghold are removed from your minds. I purpose to think about whatsoever is truth. Whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, I will think about such things. I will talk about such things. I will get involved in such things. And I purpose by the grace of God to build up a stronghold based upon the principles found in the Word of God within my heart and my mind. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous will run to it and be safe in the shelter of your presence. Oh God, my Savior, you will keep me safe. So as we started this study on resetting our mind, it's a process, church. It's a process. you haven't started this process, I want to strongly encourage you to start this morning. See, church, it really is quite simple. When I first introduced this 3 services ago now, it's really quite simple. You block it, you delete it, and then you unfriend it. So you never have to go back to it. But most of us, we partially block it. We don't all the way to delete it. And we don't always want to unfriend it because we may at some point in time, we may need it again. God says, no, get it out. Get it out. Get it out. So as our worship team begins to lead us in worship this morning, I want to open up this altar. The enemy has been bombarding your mind with lies. Truth is available. You're struggling. Truth is here. God is truth. So won't you come and pray this morning?
Touches earth and I'm caught in between. I want to know what it feels like. Glory of the Lord to fall. Fall on me. Take me there. 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 'Cause I wanna know what it feels like when heaven touches earth and I'm caught in between. I wanna know what it feels like, the glory of the Lord to fall, fall on me. I wanna know what it feels like, heaven touches earth and I'm caught in between. I wanna know what it feels like, the glory of the Lord to fall, fall on me.
Church, I just want to encourage you. We have our Reset, Reconnect, this little worksheet here. Each week we focus on 3 points. What needs to go spiritually, mentally, physically? What can I give away? What areas of my life need more love and attention in each one of these areas? Now, Wednesday evening, we're going to be talking about our bodies physically. And I want to start on Wednesday evening. What we're going to do is we're going to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And we're going to tie together exactly how God created us. And we're going to go from that point forward. And God designed us the way we are. Important that we understand that, because what happens in our soul affects our mind. What happens in our body affects our mind and our soul. So just remember Wednesday evening, and next Sunday we'll finish up. And as I said, we're going to be tying in some of the results of our stress test that we all took in with all of this to give you some pointers on how to deal with some of these things. So love you all. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Drive careful on your way home. It's a little slippery out there yet. But, God bless.